welcome back to a brand new episode of Too Many Trailers. These are your intrepid hosts in their apartments. And we're stuck in our apartments, but we're still recording.
I know. This is the first time we've ever recorded apart. And
this
it's
is
terrible.
The scariest thing. I hate not looking at you. I feel like we should be like FaceTiming right now as well.
I know. So I can't see your body language.
This is weird. You're not going to know what hand movements I'm doing.
Oh my god. How am I supposed to explain to the folks listening at home what you're doing?
It's almost like I'm going to have to explain it myself.
That's just
like a normal
terrible person
for an audio medium. Alrighty. So, because this fun time that we're living in right now, almost every single movie except for Scoob has been delayed.
Everything's really sad.
We can't watch new movies right now. So what we're gonna do for the weeks until all of this fun stuff is over, and until new movies come back, we'll be taking total requests live. Essentially,
oh my God,
we'll be coming
TRL.
TMTRL.
If you will.
And we've gathered up a few movies that we'll be putting into certain sections to be discussing their trailers,
as
always.
So we put out on our social media earlier today, like asking for people's favorite trailers, favorite movies, or I guess yesterday afternoon. And we've gotten some good feedback that'll definitely last us for a few episodes, guys. But we can talk to you about the ones we chose for this episode. But first, we should probably say our names. I'm Marianne.
Yeah, it might help. I'm Kelsey. Hi. And this is a podcast where
we talk about
trailers every other week. And sometimes some bonus episodes sprinkled into the mix every so often. So this week, thanks to our friends Ricky and Luke, we'll be discussing the trailers for Swiss Army Man
and The Social Network,
which came out in 2016 and 2010 respectively.
Yes.
So I think we should just, I guess, jump right into the behind the trailer facts.
I think so.
Oh my gosh. Only 3 minutes in. We're already there.
I know. This is the fastest intro we've ever done.
It really is.
We usually take at least a solid 5.
Solid 5, edited it down 2-3. And then, but it's like, you know what? We got shit to do. We have banana bread to make. We really have
along with the rest of the world.
So I went to the store the other day to like get some more food because I was running out, obviously. And this woman was like, "Do you have yeast?" And this the worker, God bless her soul, she's like, "Literally everyone has been making bread for some reason, so there's no yeast."
I know. Everybody's like, we're socially quarantined for the next 14 days. Better learn how to make bread. What?
Like, of all the things to cook, why bread?
I know. I mean, it's a nice
Maybe
warm
it's just
winter food. It takes a little bit of time that you never really have time to put into bread. But still, there are so many other things that also take a long time that you could be making.
You could be making, like, slow cooker meals and, like, crock pot stuff.
Yes.
Teas. I don't know. You could be making everything but bread. I just don't know why everyone was like, "I gotta make fucking bread."
This episode could be called Anything But Bread.
Anything
everything
but, honestly, as a celiac, I do enjoy that title, Everything But Bread. So. Alrighty, so Swiss Army Man.
What a hard cut.
Just right next to it. We have Swiss Army Man, which actually came out on July 1st, 2016. And it was directed by two people. The directors are Dan Kwan and Daniel Schneiert. And they also wrote the film.
Yes.
Schneiert, I apologize for butchering your last name, Daniel.
And they are definitely a duo.
Yes.
All of the things that they've directed together. All the things that they've written together. They both worked on at least one episode of Nora from Queens with Awkwafina.
Oh, nice.
And they've done a lot of, like, music videos and music shorts for different bands and things like that.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Who are the, who is the composer for Swiss Army Man?
So there's two composers, mm-hmm. also a duo, Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. And they have done all of the same, most of the stuff with Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. They did a movie called Death of Dick Long with Daniel Scheinert as well.
That's a name of a movie that's interesting.
It's certainly a name. The internet definitely banned that, either on purpose or by accident, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Kelsey, so you want to break down the cast for us?
Don't I ever. Yeah. Okay, so we have Paul Dano, Daniel Radcliffe, and also, before we go through the rest of the cast, Marianne, you can always just raise your hand if there is some sort of rainbow connection or a Bill Nye connection.
You're right. I'm going to put my thing right by the hand raising.
Just in case you have anything. Then we have Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Anthony...
Hold on, you didn't see my hand!
Oh, no, I'm sorry, your hand is raising. We have a hands up. Is this a rainbow or Bill Nye connection?
Can you even believe it? It's gonna be both.
What? What? Oh my god, this is a first.
I think it is Tyler Cast.
It is definitely a first. We've never had both a rainbow connection or a Bill Nye connection, the same person.
Bill Nye,
the extra guy.
Because Bill, we talk about Bill being in Pride all the time.
That's true.
But I think
not so much like the person also. That it's connected to.
That's you're right.
Thank you.
So, Kelsey, would you like me to do the rainbow connection first or my Bill connection?
Let's do the rainbow connection first, and then we'll go the rainbow connection of today.
So, Mary Elizabeth Winstead
yes.
was in the film from this year, Birds of Prey,
mm-hmm.
where she played, I forgot what her name was. But that's okay.
Was she Huntress?
Huntress, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And she's totally gay. Oh my god, none of it's canon though, but she's gay. And she's totally gonna hook up with Canary, the Black Canary.
Oh, I hope so.
They were practically hope so. Like, they were absolutely flirting in that end scene, so.
Yes, absolutely. So it's canon, sorry.
It's canon. It's there. So yeah. That's our rainbow connection, and then our mm-hmm. her connection to our friend and yours, Bill Nye,
our best friend,
is through. So Mary Elizabeth Winstead was in Birds of Prey with Margot Robbie, and Margot Robbie was in a film called About Time, which featured Bill Nye.
Oh my god. Bill Nye, the actor guy. Bill. I'm honestly so proud of you for not relating that to Daniel Radcliffe.
I was like, I can't do it unless there's really nothing else.
Okay. And that was a really, really good connection because I completely forgot he was in About Time. Right? And that movie made me fucking sob my eyes out.
I didn't know that Margot Robbie was in that movie. So I was like, I've never seen that movie and it's a movie I wouldn't watch. So like it makes
sense.
It's
not for you.
It's not my demographic.
No, not at all.
The only time I want to watch Rachel McAdams is if she's making out with Rachel Weisz.
That's very true. That is the truest statement I've ever heard from you. But yeah. You know, it's like a good movie. Like, it's a good, like, sappy rom-com that is also, like, incredibly depressing. Especially because of the... Yeah, because it's like they set up a mechanic that is a really good, like, time travel mechanic, and it's really, really well done.
So does Rachel McAdams exclusively do time travel movies?
Which other ones was she in?
The Time Traveler's Wife.
Was she in that one? She probably, like, that was, like, oh my god, she was. So I guess that's, like, the era where she was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna do, like, romantic sci-fi films that are not hard sci-fi.
Do, like, romantic low, light low. Sci-fi.
Which is a weird genre that, like, happened, you know, with, like, Never Let Me Go, About Time, Time Traveler's Wife. I can't think of any more, but I think three is enough right now. And, but it was, like, this, like, weird subgenre of films that we had
it in, was.
Like, from, like, 2009 to 2013, I wouldn't want to say.
Probably somewhere in there, because The Time Traveler's Wife came out somewhere in that time, because I read the book in high school, which is after I
that was like
movie,
20
so that makes sense.
Yeah, it was like 2007 to 2011, so
yeah,
so I mean, yeah, it had a and it has some production, but yeah, it was like a weird subgenre that we went through, was light sci-fi, romantic light sci-fi. Which was just enough for middle-aged women to, you know, read about, being like, oh, yes, I read a sci-fi novel, and it was,
I too
romance.
Read a sci-fi novel once.
It was about a heterosexual romance. It was so amazing. Okay, so we have the next one person in the cast is Antonio Retiro, Timothy... Eula, Richard Gross, Marika Castile, Andy Hull, Aaron Marshall, and Sharon Carmuth, I believe her name is. My writing is very messy today.
But that's all right.
It's okay.
I followed.
Thank you. I'm glad you followed on the other side of the city.
You are so welcome. Also, so I'm just double-checking a fact that I thought would show up on IMDb, and it didn't, and now I'm disappointed.
Okay.
So Andy Hull is, so one of our composers is also the main person in a band called Manchester Orchestra, who contributed a lot of music to this movie, obviously. Which makes so much more sense.
It makes... I have a note about that that we'll get to in due time.
Oh. Oh. All right.
Because of the... It's just like... Okay. Well, do you want to jump right into the
Let's
the
just
trailer?
Jump right in while we're chatting about it.
Let's
I
jump right
like,
in.
I just want to fact check this. Here we are.
So this movie was released in 2016. So it probably was in production like 2014 or something in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's a lot of effects like it. The music is so, like, mid-2000s indie with the clapping. And it was, like, using the clapping as a beat. You have, like, full lumineers, like, going on.
Oh, my God.
It just, like, it made me, like, very nostalgic for the mid-2000s, which is a weird sentence to have.
It's,
but
like,
it was
the
just,
mid-2010s,
like, that...
though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Where it was, like, there was, like, folk music was really popular for like a good time, and
yeah,
everyone's
it
like, yes,
out
we
really
to
well
clap.
For me.
Yeah,
we love to clap. That's also a great potential name for this episode.
Yes, it is.
So the 2010s were a weird time for folk.
Weird time for folk. Weird time for independent cinema, because independent cinema was like really, really, really trying to be very independent, if that makes any sense. Like,
oh, it makes complete sense.
Like the movie Frank with Michael Fassbender was going on.
That was
a movie during
movie
that time
that I've
which
ever
was
seen in my entire life.
It is one of the strangest things, and I weirdly liked it. It was like,
of course
I got no one surprised at that, but And then we had like a ghost story during the mid-2010s, which is not a good movie. I don't care what people say. I've
never even heard of it before, but that's
oh my god, it is. I have to show you this trailer because it's insane. And it's like you had these like films that were like too independent, and then you have people like myself coming out of the theater being like, oh, it totally got what it was trying to be, but like,
and no then one really people like who are like, I don't understand anything that just happened these past 2 hours.
It's like, what occurred? Can you tell me?
There was a
dude wearing a blanket with two holes cut out of his eyes. We're literally staring at a wall for 30 minutes. So,
well, in Frank, the guy's fucking wearing a giant head thing, like a mask helmet thing,
for 2 hours.
I hated it.
A solid 2 hours. And it's like, I understood what the film was trying to do. And I understood like things like Arcade Fire, I think the band it was trying to like emulate on, was a thing at the time, where they did wear like paper mache masks or heads or whatever of their own faces.
Just
because it's indie folk, you know, that trend. So those were movies of the 2010s that definitely related to this film.
Absolutely.
Because it was one of those films where it was like way too independent to be considered like a good movie, I guess.
And I was waiting for you to say it, and I was like, she's not going to say it. She won't say it. She's not going to do it. And you did. I'm so proud.
I'm growing as a person who is sharing her opinion on things. And So I saw about 45 minutes of this film before I gave up on this movie.
Whoa. And it's always like a sign when Kelsey gives up on a movie.
Yep. It was a bad movie, guys. Sorry to say to her friend that liked it. But the trailer kind of, it just really encapsulates what the 2010s were. Because no one knew, I guess, what they were, so.
Yeah, so should we jump into the trailer talk?
Yeah, let's get into the trailer talk rather than talking about cinema of the 2000s. Okay, so we had, it opens up on MPAA rating, which is, oh my god.
Yep.
It just dates itself. And then I'll talk about that again in The Social Network, just because, wow, that's something.
I know, right? And then
it just made it feel very dated.
The A24 logo, and I was like, okay, this could go one of two ways.
It definitely, I was like, oh, of course this is an A24. This makes total sense that this is this weird as fuck movie. Is A24.
Yeah, literally halfway through my notes, it's just a note that says, oh, it's one of those A24 films.
Yeah. Especially when we'll discuss it when it gets closer to, like, the reveal of, you know, Paul Dano's trials and tribulations of hoarding a dead man. So it opens up on Paul Dano, I guess, like, stranded on an island.
On an island, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, he's stranded on an island, obviously been there, you know, for a few days because he's grown a beard, you know, to show the passage
obviously
of time.
That's the only way we can show that time has passed on an abandoned island.
And, like, considering, like, that could be, I don't know, like, 2 weeks for, like, some people who can
grow facial
hair. Could
already have a beard just normally.
Yeah, exactly.
Been there for, like, literally 2 hours.
And so we have no context how this guy got. I mean, sometimes that's okay. It works.
True. It's just but a trailer.
It's just a trailer. But then he tries to die via strangulation.
So he tries to commit suicide, are the words that Kelsey's looking for.
Sometimes I don't like that word. And it was just, and it's like this, he's like, I don't know, I guess he's like, I don't know what else to do. And then a dead body shows up on the beach.
Yes. Or what we can assume is a dead body.
Yes, I guess you can say, because it is revealed in the trailer. So then Paul Dano gets super excited, and he's like, oh my god, what the fuck? Like, what are you here? And then he realizes that this person that Daniel Radcliffe is playing is essentially dead at the moment, but, like, because he's dead and, like, probably filled up with gas, he farts. And the physical comedy in this trailer is odd.
Yeah, yeah. When he went over to him and then he farted, I was like, wait, this is not a comedic opening to this trailer. No. I don't know what's happening.
I got very, like, put off.
Yeah.
Like, to the start, to this trailer.
Oh, yeah, right away.
And then, right away, you're just like, oh, I don't like this. And then what happens is that he takes the body and uses it as a jet ski.
Yeah, you're right. I think I blocked that out. I literally just watched this today, but I'm pretty sure I already blocked out that part.
And it's like and then it gets progressively weirder where he takes this body into the forest.
Get weirder.
No, it gets stranger.
Oh, I know.
He takes the body into a forest, and we're being shown the whole film in this one trailer,
which is weird.
Yes,
it's only the 2010s, so it's not like.
It's not like it's 1995,
right,
which this movie would have been perfect for, honestly. This movie would have been so, just because of the fact that it showed the whole thing, and mostly the 2010s, especially for an official trailer, you only get, like, kind of the nooks and crannies of the movie.
Right, and it wasn't a long trailer.
No, it was, like, less than 2 minutes long, I think, right?
Yes, I watched that one, too.
And so you're getting everything from literally when Daniel Radcliffe's body, like, I guess, wakes up, maybe?
Yeah, a little unsure about what this was supposed to be.
Yes. I wrote in my notes, is this a retelling of Frankenstein? Because I wasn't sure if it was Paul Dano, you know, hallucinating, you know, that, you know, this dead body is coming back to life because
right.
he's dying because he doesn't have any food, water, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Or if this body's actually coming back to life, and, I mean, I guess that's the point of the film, but, you know, and he's, like, teaching this quote-unquote creature that can do, you know, fantastical things.
Yeah.
To fuck a girl? I don't know. That part was weird, too.
Yep. Yep. I know. Most of my notes are, wait, what? Wait, what's happening? Mm-hmm. What is this?
Oh, I wrote a note when he was bringing, when Paul Dano was bringing, backpacking Daniel Radcliffe, and I go, my note is just another hike in the woods. You know.
With my dead friend.
With my dead friend. Could you imagine, like, running into this dude, like hauling a dead body with no care in the world?
Right? So, I guess spoiler alert for Riverdale? Weird. one of the characters on there, like, takes her brother's dead body around for a little while and, like, props him up, like, at their house and stuff and is like, this is my brother. I'm just making sure he's part of the family. And everybody's like, he's a dead body. And she's like, I know, but you don't want him to feel left out. And I'm like, what? So that's how this made me feel.
Well, that's appropriate. So yeah, this trailer was interesting, and yeah, I mean, I can understand, like, the start of A24, like, this makes sense, because this was when A24 kind of just started getting into popularity, I feel like, as a production company of, like, horror and stranger types of movie.
Psychological thrillers and just, like,
yeah, like, weird movies that they produce, or weird but well done films. Because it won an award, I guess, but
interesting.
So I can understand why A24 like did.
Oh yeah, this like, makes complete sense that it's A24. Who else would do this?
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. So all I have to say is what?
I said it's one of those movies that are too deep and too metaphoric for me, where I don't really understand it.
Honestly, that's even for me. I think it's just too. I think they put in too much thought into like the background meaning of the movie and like kind of forgot about the front meaning of it. So
yeah, and you're right. And like when you've got too many people that like see this film and like are having. And like are really struggling to get what they're meaning, that makes it kind of difficult. But I guess that's like always how you run your risk, especially with like those smaller indie films. Like you could get people that like are like, this made sense to me and this is how I saw it, and that's I guess what art's all about. But like the other half of us are like, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, like I can definitely see like someone, you know, who relates, yeah, like you said, someone who was, like, relating to, like, the movie, like, maybe to Paul Dano's character, and, you know, finding comfort in something that's not real to kind of lift you up and get you moving and get you back, I guess, getting to your own state after, you know,
after a trauma. A
incident, I guess you can say, like, a trauma, thank you. So I can, like, I can definitely understand, you know, the like and the understanding of people maybe liking this film.
Right.
Because of that. And yeah. To like kind of focus all your attention onto another person who is also probably coming out of that like kind of deep hole that, you know, usually go through with people going through dark thoughts and depression. So I can totally understand the relatability, quote unquote, of this film, but the fantastical nature is like turned up to 20 and it just like takes you so much out of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like how he is like this mystical being that can cut through wood or something as a
right,
dead body.
Right. That was.
And I feel like if it was so kind of toned down, I feel like it would have worked. I think it's just like too fantastical.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree.
Cool.
All right. So, Kelsey, would you see this movie?
I would not see it again. No. I couldn't get past 45 minutes of this film, and that 45 minutes was literally Paul Dano riding a dead body like a jet ski to a forest and like hiking through the forest. I couldn't even get to Daniel Radcliffe talking.
Oh, boy. All right.
Would you watch it?
No. No. This is not a film made for Marianne.
No, it's not a film made for many people. But if you enjoyed it, we're happy for you.
Yes.
So we're going to move right along to The Social Network.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No break?
Yeah, I don't know how to do breaks in this thing, so.
That's my favorite reason.
So we're gonna move right along, and we want to thank Zencastr for digitally recording at a distance
and making us possible. Us record while social distancing.
Yes. So I think they have a promotion going on right now until whenever this, you know, pandemic is over. You can like record virtually with other people. So. I guess hit Zencastr up, I guess, and thank you, Anchor, for hosting us and putting this podcast out to the world.
Yeah. Look at that. That was like,
and that is
was like a mid-break, mid-episode.
Mid-break ad.
Ad. That we didn't mean to do.
Hashtag not sponsored. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're going to talk about The Social Network.
Yes.
Which came out October 1st, 2010.
Fabulous. The director is David Fincher,
who I feel like directed everything in 2010.
Yeah, pretty much. He did The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Mm-hmm. So, wait, the one with Daniel Craig, correct?
Yes.
This, it's not the Swedish version.
No. No.
Okay. The one with Enya blasting at the end of the movie.
The one with Rooney Mara, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so she's in this and that. He also directed Gone Girl.
Oh, that's a well-done film.
Yep. Yep. And Zodiac.
Ugh, my favorite. So good.
It's so I mean, it makes total sense, but to me, I'm just like, nope. Nope. Nope.
Whenever I watch that movie, I'm like, finally, some good fucking food. It's such a good film. Robert Downey Jr., Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't think I knew that Robert Downey Jr. was in that.
Yes, he plays a raging alcoholic in the film. Like, every single character he plays.
There you go.
There you go. No, it's a good movie. If you like true crime, historical fiction drama based around a serial killer that is well directed, highly, highly recommend that movie. It's very well done, and it's based off of a detective slash a newspaper worker's time trying to investigate who the Zodiac killer was, and off this book that he wrote. So recommend that one. So the writers the writer is for the screenplay is Aaron Sorkin, and the book is based off the book by Ben Melrick. That's the guy who went through trying to figure out who the Zodiac killer was.
Oh, he was the writer for the Zodiac also?
Yeah, I think he like wrote the book.
Oh, wow.
That the movie was based off of. Yeah.
So much overlap.
I know, too much.
Aaron Sorkin also wrote all of West Wing.
Yes, correct.
Charlie Wilson's War. And then other kind of similar films to this, like Moneyball, Steve Jobs, things that are like looking at things that have had scandal in them.
Yeah, like that makes sense. Like he always like writes those sort of like high drama films,
yeah,
and shows. Right. So who's the composer?
All right, there's two composers for this.
Ooh, so more composer episode.
I know. They work together. Similarly to our other one, it's Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Yes.
And they both did the composing for Bird Box.
Oh, okay.
Yep. They worked together with David Fincher on Gone Girl and also The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Power team. Nice.
Right?
Yeah. All right. So, the cast. Are you ready for a throwback movie?
I know. I looked through the cast and I was like, oh my god.
This literally brought me back. I have so many notes about the cast.
Welcome to the early 2010s.
Oh my god. 2010s, yeah. So, first off, we have Jesse Eisenberg.
Which is just like, puts you right there. That's a name.
Yeah, it's like, automatically puts you back 10 years ago. Rooney Mara. Mm-hmm. We have...
For Rooney Mara, I'm going to do another other small rainbow connection of that.
Oh, okay.
She was in Carol.
Oh, that's right. She was not the titular Carol.
Carol is a very divisive gay movie. Like, you either
really
love it or hate it, and there's zero in between.
Interesting.
Yep.
Huh. Okay. Well,
I know. So
you learn something new every day.
I decided to throw in a canon rainbow connection since my other one's technically
not. It's like fan service, but
pretty much
it's something that we want to have. So we had a true rainbow connection. All right. So we have Brian Bana, I believe, Dustin Fitzsimmons, Joseph Mazzello's, Patrick Maple, Andrew Garfield.
Who is just so early 2010s.
I have not heard his name in about 6 years.
Actually, we heard his name in our one of our other A24 films, Under the Silver Lake.
Oh, Under the Silver Lake. Yeah, that was like 2 years ago.
Oh my God, you're right. Just almost like threw up. You're right, that was a full 2 years ago.
That was literally, that was like one of, maybe like, that was probably like our third episode.
Oh my God, it was. Oh my God.
A24 Moonlight, yep, Under the Silver A24 Lake. A24
films fucking me up for the past 2 years.
Oh my gosh, forever. We have Arnie Hammer, and he was pretty low down on the cast list. I think this is like one of his like first films he was like in ish.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of like the more popular ones. Hold on to your hat for this one, because we have Justin Timberlake in the movie. But he was trying to become an actor.
He was like, I'm gonna act.
I'm gonna do a sci-fi romance film yet again.
And then he was like, sci-fi romance. Why don't you just voice act? We're gonna put you in Trolls.
What was the movie? It was him and Amanda Seyfried. That was a film. That was a sci-fi romance. And then we had The Social Network. And then he never acted again.
Yep.
And then last but certainly not least, we have Dakota Johnson. But also, this movie has a fucking huge cast, so it's, that's just the people that I knew.
It's enormous.
It's insane how many people were casted in this film. Well, that means we can jump right into the trailer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, so again, we got an MPAA rating.
I know.
Which means that this was pretty much, I think that just means that it was only really shown in theaters, and they really didn't start showing like more online.
Yeah,
I think, I guess, because they probably extrapolated it. That's the only thing I could guess as to why they would show the MPAA rating. Yeah, especially like the green box, which is like the iconic stuff. But anyway, so I love that they start on Facebook.
I know, that was, I liked that a lot.
And I loved the music.
So did I, but I actually went, because they were talking, you know, like specifically, obviously Facebook originated solely for college students.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, they should be playing Graduation by Vitamin C.
Ba-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da.
Yeah, with a little Taco Bell's cannon in the middle.
They always have to. That's like Vitamin C and Taco Bell's cannon overlap so perfectly.
I can't.
It's just, you can never escape Graduation without Taco Bell's cannon. That shit will never be. There might be a pandemic, but they'll still play fucking Taco Bell's cannon at your child's graduation.
That they've postponed or doing virtually. Yeah. But don't you fucking worry. They'll still play
they
it.
They do. They'll play it over a Zoom meeting. And so just be in back of everyone's like, where is that coming? And then you'll see like your professor in like full garb being like, all right. And Marianne. Da 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 da.
Oh my God. You're right.
But I did like it, because even 10 years later it does feel nostalgic for Facebook, especially like that
style. Like,
what are you doing? What's on your mind? Like that shit. They don't give up. No one, they don't say that anymore. Everyone's just like, here is wrong information. I don't care. And so
here's some memes.
Yeah, here's a minion in a skirt and saying something witty, and it makes no sense. But I did like the music, because of the fact that it is, the song is I'm a Creep, I'm a Loser, and I'm a Creep. And so pairing that off with like Facebook, especially at that time where it was used for specifically college students to know what was going on in their life at the moment.
Yep.
So well done. I think that was really interesting. But yeah,
I totally agree. It was a really good music choice.
And it was like the way it was like and filtered throughout the whole trailer and it, how it was yes. And it just didn't change the vibe of the trailer, but it changed like the tone every single time there was a new scene, and I really, really enjoyed that, and I think that's what it worked so well as well.
Yeah, and I think that really comes from the composers being having done like a lot of thrillers and things like that where yes. you really have to move around that vibe.
Do you remember when Jesse Eisenberg was like all the rage for some reason?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, and it was like from like 2007 to maybe 2012, and we didn't hear about him.
Yeah, it was probably somewhere in there, or maybe even to like pushing it to like 2013 or so.
Maybe. And I feel like he just went private. I don't know. It's same thing with Andrew Garfield. Like, he was all the rage until like 2013, and then they stripped him of his Spider-Man title.
And replaced him with Tom Holland, like, and called it a day.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. And so I feel like it was a very abrupt end to their careers, because this is where I like remember them the most. I mean, this is when I started getting on like Tumblr and everything. Like, this movie was huge on Tumblr. Huge. And so I feel like it was this was like their peak film.
Yes, absolutely. You know? It was their first, like, you know, because they did all the like comedy movies and things like that. This was their first, like, more serious for a bigger audience, for a more adult audience film.
Yeah, this, like, movie, like, won Oscars and was nominated for multiple Oscars. And so I really think that it just, like, all of a sudden you just didn't hear about them. And I just, like, always think back. I'm like, I wonder what Jesse Eisenberg is up to.
And then you, like, are about to Google his name, but then you don't realize you don't care that much.
Yeah.
And yeah, then you get distracted much. You're just by like, something else and you never go back to it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, oh. And then, like, 2 months later, you're like, what about that Jesse Eisenberg? Where is he?
And then it's the same cycle over and it just, over.
Time is a flat circle. Just keeps on moving.
Just keeps on going.
I felt like this movie had a very 2010 color blocking, where it was just like constantly yellow. Where films, I think in that early mid 2000s, they specifically only like made it green or only made it blue. There was like no like shifting, and it was just, it's very, the movie was very yellow, and I understand like why, because it was like everyone wants to be neutral, we're all in the same playing field, you know, no one's above each other type of bullshit,
right?
But I just thought it was very yellow. Granted, David Fincher kind of color blocks his films, you know, to a certain color, which is yellow. He just
makes yellow which films. Is yellow, in case you were wondering.
It's the color we've been talking about for the past 2 minutes. So I feel like it was just like very odd, because you don't see that a lot anymore.
Yeah. It was, you know? Very like in its time.
Yeah. It's like lighting. We don't know her. Like, it's a dark Who screen. Is Who is she? And I don't know. It was just like a very, it's like both of these are very of its era, but the era was only like 5 to 10 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And that's what I think is tripping me up so much.
It's so strange.
Also, did you see that it was Brenda Song in that movie?
Oh my god.
Do you remember
when I was looking through the cast list on IMDb, I saw her there and I was like, oh my god. Brenda Song, thank you for your work for the Disney Channel.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for
But it's like overall though, I really, really enjoyed this trailer. It kept me interested in like a 2.5 hour long, 2.5 hour, 2.5 minute, I should say, trailer. Yeah. It was engaging. It didn't ruin any of the plot. It gave us some conflict, though. Even though it showed like kind of conflict, it didn't really show too much of it, and just enough to get us like engaged into the story, you know?
Right. No, I agree. It was like the perfect amount. I also so just that, like I it, I don't you know I the trailer was good. It didn't make me like want to immediately go see this film, but it did like enough where I was like I stayed interested. It was
right,
you know, all that.
I agree. It was just a very like
sorry.
I guess I could say it was a well-made trailer for its time.
What?
I know. Who am I?
A well-made trailer that came out of 2010?
We'll never see it again.
Right. Literally. Never. But I thought that this was, like, really interesting that, like, we are... Oh, do you have any other notes about the trailer? I'm sorry.
No, this is, that was literally my last name.
So, they filmed this not at Harvard, but they used Boston University and also Wheelock College.
They did?
Yeah.
Wait, I think you mentioned to me that once, but what, no, what remember, did they no, use?
You came with me to an open house at Wheelock College.
Oh, that's right.
Probably when we learned that, because they like this film was probably just going to be released because we were there and like.
Oh, that's right. I think I remember now. I remember they kept asking what my major would be, and I was like, "I'm going to a different college."
You were like, "I'm not coming here.
I'm not going here. I'm going for biomedical engineering."
You were like, "This is a school where you only talk to kids, and I'm not trying to do that."
Everyone's like, oh my god, it's so nice to meet you. I'm like, please don't make friends with me.
But do tell me about how you filmed The Social Network here.
Yeah, I do, because I think it was like they like walked across like the courtyard or something.
Yeah, they filmed it on the stairs. Oh, or they at least okay. Like there's a more iconic scene that people can always point out on our stairs.
That it's like, this is Wheelock College.
Welcome to Wheelock College.
For what I was saying, you know, Twitter was only, like, a mere little thing in life. You know, it was only, like, 2 or 3 years old, and, you know, other social platforming, you know, like Tumblr or something was so young at the moment. I mean,
right.
So, and seeing where the internet is today, you know, compared to, you know, 2010, and thusly compared to 2004 or 2003 when this, like, Facebook was created.
Right.
It's so interesting to see kind of the ramifications that everything's been put on, you know, lately.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's interesting, like, to see, like, the concept, like, the inception of it, plus, you know, the trials and tribulations that you had with all this conflict, which I think I find really interesting, which I can understand why they made it into a movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's so good. I might rewatch this.
I've never actually seen this.
You've never seen it? It's actually like a really, really well done film. I don't recommend it before you go to bed. I do recommend for you specifically, like when you're eating dinner.
Okay. I like how you're like, for you, you're going to need to see it at this time.
Yeah. I think it's just because of the fact that it is a slow paced film, even though it does like the movie, like, does, like, have a good pace. It's just a slow pace.
Okay.
And I feel like this movie is better watched when you have some sort of, like, functionality versus being like, this is a movie to go to bed to. It's not. It's, like, you need to kind of pay attention because there's a lot of moving parts. But it is really good.
Okay, yeah, it looked pretty good. It looked better, I think. I think I just never got around to it. Be honest, right. Like, I don't think it was like an intentionally, like, I didn't watch it on purpose.
Right. You're like, you're not protesting, you know, The Social Network film specifically.
Right, not protesting this movie, just not interested in it enough to have made it a priority.
It's well done. It's good. Arnie Hammer plays twins, obviously, and they do it very, very well, where you can't tell that, you know, he's a twin. Like, okay. I thought, like, when I first saw this film, I was like, oh, cool, twins. They're acting really well. And they're like, no, that's just, like, one person playing two parts, you know?
Right, right.
So.
All right. So, Kelsey, obviously, you're going to watch this again. I may watch this in the future.
Wow.
No promises, but, like.
Oh, my God, hysterical. So, we're going to do a little business.
Yeah.
Now that we have reached the end of our episode.
We have.
So if you'd like listening to us, feel free to rate 5 stars and subscribe in iTunes. We post episodes every other week where we discuss movie trailers with bonus episodes sprinkled in every so often. Exactly. We also are on other platforms such as...
We are on Spotify, Google, Overcast, and we are also on Anchor, which is our hosting platform.
We also want to thank Zencastr. They did not reach out to us, but I just want to thank Zencastr for allowing us to socially network via social distancing,
yes.
Record a podcast safely at home, in the comfort of our own homes, in comfy clothes. If you want to reach out to us on certain social network platforms, you can always reach out to us with your thoughts on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Too Many Trailers. That's T-W-O Many Trailers.
We are also would love for you to on our social media, because we are moving towards this different direction for right now. Definitely suggest, have you seen any trailers that we've missed so far this year? Are there other films you really like, or other trailers that you really like? Feel free to reach out to us on our socials or email us, and you can email us at toomanytrailers@gmail.com. That's TWOmanytrailers@gmail.com.
So with that, we'd love to always give a parting words to everyone. Please do not judge movies by their trailers. Leave that up to us. Have a great whenever. Thanks, guys, for listening. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.